From the Jackalope Studios, high above the city in the beautiful Berry View Castle, welcome to the Harmony Health Hour, reconnecting spirit, mind, and body with your host, Dr. Daryl Drumright.
You're not the only one I've ever had. And if I say I want to set you free.
Hey everybody, it's Dr. Drumright. It's a Harmony Health Hour kicking off Friday night on the Jackalope Radio. Good to hear everybody and see everybody out there. We got a great show for you tonight. I've got so much material, there's no way I'm going to get to it all. I've got all kinds of different topics. I'm not even going to tell you what I'm going to talk about until I get to it because I've got so many options we're going to get into. How's that sound, Todd? I feel good. I feel the best I've felt in a couple months. I had that tooth problem last month, and I'll tell you what, if you'd ever have an abscess tooth, that sucks. It's really not fun. But we got it cleaned out. Everything's feeling better. Dr. D's feeling good. The energy's flowing around here. We're going to talk about chiropractic, acupuncture, all kinds of ways to help you heal yourself and be in charge of your own life. We're going to start off with the Tao Te Ching tonight, verse number 20. Verse number 20, it says, "The sadness of superficialities and of the unfulfilled great integrity. It is sometimes deeply depressing to be a rebel, knowing that we can never share most people's way of life, nor can they share ours. Schooling stuffs the brains of our children with trivia. The more the trivia, the more their anxieties. They indoctrinate the children to believe that the consequences are grave when they fail to distinguish good from evil, and agreement from disagreement. What gross nonsense. To escape the rubbish of all this so-called knowledge, in the winter people run to the great feasts of lamb, pork, and ox, and they climb high in the mountains to view the first signs of spring. We are so different, having no desires for trivialities, nor for their compensations. We are like infants not yet knowing how to laugh, ever wandering and having no home to which we may return. While most people are obsessed with superficialities, we feel empty. While most people feel they know so much, we feel simple-minded. While most people believe they live happily in the best of all possible worlds, we are despaired to witness this world. It is so painful to know that we will always be outsiders, endlessly moving like the ocean, aimlessly blowing like the wind. While we fear what others fear, we don't treasure what others treasure. Our treasure is the great integrity. However, until it is shared, it will not be the universal integrity, for we are part of them, and they are part of us." Once again, I am amazed that this was written
that long ago.
Yeah. Okay. The more they change, the more they stay the same, huh?
Yeah.
In our technical advanced world and of global communications, we're able to talk about this around the planet, and yet our problems are the same as a time when the handwritten note was the only form of communication and 99% of the world was illiterate. I wonder if it's about 97% illiterate now. I don't know what the literacy rate is on the world stage. Luckily, where I live around here, we do have a high literacy rate, and I believe that's a good lever towards advancement and becoming the rebel and bringing the rebel out of everybody, like this says. Commentary from my old friend, the late Dr. Alan Dale. "How often we who are rebels have despaired. We identify with Lao Tzu and his frustrations. We have so often shared his sadness and his discouragement of not being accepted by either the power elite or by the majority of by the majority who are often cleverly manipulated to identify with the very views that victimize them."
Man, I tell you, Doc.
Mm-hmm. Does that sound real?
Yeah, it's crazy.
"Of course, those who have the power and the privileges of wealth are opposed to any radical changes. They want to conserve their power and privileges. So they are known as conservatives, though some pretend to side with the people, giving themselves liberal-sounding names. The privileged elite also control the main belief systems that rationalize the inequities of power. Today, they do so by owning and controlling the main media that molds the views of the public. Even more fundamentally, they control the jobs that provide the money that buys all the necessities of life. No wonder we have a hard time being heard. No wonder we feel isolated and alienated from the mainstreams of social, political, and economic life. Such have been the frustrations of us rebels since the time of Lao Tzu. But at last, today, we have an alternative. We can form a global community and return to the great integrity when children will no longer be indoctrinated with trivia and adults will no longer suffer the inhumanities that are masked by overindulgent escapes. It makes us wish that Lao Tzu were among us to appreciate and celebrate these new opportunities. But of course he is in these very verses. You feel the passion coming from Dr. Dale, a man that spent decades and decades teaching acupuncture and talking about chiropractic and talking about health, proper health care, not for-profit health care. This brings us a dial us in a little bit of all the topics. You can see how this applies to all aspects of our society. In the Harmony Health Hour, we're going to dial this in a little bit. What I'm going to look over now is some excerpts from some of my archives from my blog. These are back from 2007.
Wow.
So this is something, 5 years ago that I was doing?
Yeah.
The true revolution, however, is not in seeking different techniques. This is talking about a healthcare revolution that I was talking about on the blog of 2007, that Americans are waking up and realizing that there's something else out there. The true revolution, however, is not in seeking different techniques for treating disease. It is in the emergence of a different perspective on the human condition. This is the distinction between alternative treatment and wellness. People have realized that valuable as medical treatment may be in its proper context, it does not address vital core issues concerning the human condition. Legendary economist Paul Zane Pilser has written, "What we call the healthcare business is really a sickness business. The $1.4 trillion, this was in 2007, we spend on medical care is concerned with treating symptoms of sickness. It has very little to do with being stronger or healthier." Pilser predicts that wellness is destined to become a trillion-dollar industry. Pilser wrote, "I define wellness as money spent to make you feel healthier, even when you're not sick by any standard medical terms. As much as we focus on the financial and lifestyle benefits of the business, the real benefit is what you can do to change a life and the lives of people who are touched by that life." That right there is what really makes me smile when I put my hands on somebody. When somebody comes in here with a migraine headache, I know exactly what to do. Their head's on crooked. We go about chiropractic of putting the head back on straight. Not only is this person's migraine going to go away very quickly, probably before they even walk out the office, but that lady's children are going to have a much better evening. That lady's husband may get laid tonight.
Scary.
Yeah, well, you know, life is life. What I'm saying is, if you approach this properly and not go after the reductionist diagnostic symptoms and label them into a disease and then create a very expensive, profitable method of managing the disease and actually look them in the eye and prioritize the person over the thing, then you can start engaging them and helping them be happier, healthier, more productive people. And then the people that they affect that I'll never, ever meet. Well, maybe I will. Maybe they'll bring them in for treatment sometime later. But even if I never meet them, I know that when I go to bed at night, the lives that I've improved and affected through my efforts today will go far beyond the people that actually came in for treatment in the office. That does my heart very well. I sleep well at night.
Yeah. I think so too.
Chiropractic is perfectly positioned to provide the leadership for the wellness movement, which is both a revolution and a renaissance. We have the opportunity to bring more fullness and joy to humanity than ever before. Will we rise to the challenge or abdicate our birthright by limiting our vision? Open your mind, open your heart, and let your light shine. Embrace the challenges and change the world. Let's begin by bringing everyone up to speed with the currently accepted picture of reality and how modern science has rediscovered ancient wisdom. Now, we go back to the chiropractors here. I'm going to probably bring some chiropractors in on the show in the next couple of weeks to talk about this, because chiropractic was created in 1895. in as a rebellious grassroots resistance against the medical mold at the time. The Surgeons Guild, the use of ether, the leeches and the bloodletting and the stuff that they were doing to people, electroshock therapy, all kinds of nasty things were going on. And the chiropractors here in the Midwest in Davenport, Iowa, a man named D.D. Palmer, initiated a brand of energy healing where he looked to the spine as an interference block, that health comes from the inside out and you can't fix it from the outside in. You have to figure out what's blocking the natural fountain of health and then remove the interference and allow the innate intelligence to flow through the tissue and regenerate itself. Now, they didn't know a lot about cells at the time. They were just exploring that. So this was a work in progress. Over the years, it's developed as a separate and distinct optional healthcare system for Americans and around the world. You go to the chiropractor because what you got in the medical office didn't work and you want to try something else. The chiropractic profession is at a turning point right now, a crux in the road. With Obamacare and the third-party payers and the stuff that's going on, there's a lot of chiropractors that are worried about putting food on their table because they get paid by a third party, an insurance company or a government or something like that. So when that third party changes the rules around, they feel like they have to fall in line to continue to get paid. I believe they've lost sight of the essence of chiropractic. The chiropractic is not about falling in line and providing the same thing everybody else provides. Chiropractors need to keep their options open. Their job is to explore outside the box, to look for safe alternatives, to continue to research into nutrition and spinal work and massage work and acupuncture and all these kind of different things that are never going to be mainstream. The reason why they're not mainstream is because they're not profitable enough. There's not enough revenue generated in these techniques, because these techniques depend on the body to heal itself, about sending somebody home to heal versus putting them in a hospital bed at $7,000 a day to be dominated by noxious chemicals and violent, aggressive interactions. The medical model is about interfering with your body. You've got a symptom, we need to do something to interfere with it. The chiropractic model is about removing interference and letting your body heal itself. Discovery number one, the old understanding that everything in the universe is made of either energy or matter is wrong. In fact, our new ability to peer into the lives of atoms have demonstrated clearly that the protons and neutrons that we thought were solid are not. They are themselves made up of energy particles that seem to pop in and out of existence within our four-dimensional reality. Where they go is still a mystery, but the fact that they are not always here has been repeatedly proven. Yeah, this is quantum physics. You know, they're talking about dual location, that the subatomic particles, you can predict where it is, but see, how's it go? You can predict where it is, but not what it is. You can predict what it is, but not where it is. You can't do both because of the variables of the quantum mechanics. The age of attention has begun. The information age has grown up and created a completely new human condition. This has been recently recognized and dubbed the attention age. Now that a person has instant access to all the information he could ever ask for, values have shifted away from the information itself and to the attention span of the individual. We come back to this, the people over things. It gets away from, prior to this, the very recent, what I call the post-Google age, information was valuable. You coveted it. You protected it. Now information is just out there. So you broadcast it in an open source manner with the understanding that the thing of value is the second by second attention of a human being. That the people's attention is what creates value. If there's no one paying attention to it, then does it have value? No. Value is completely measured in the number of people and the amount of time a person is willing to spend on that topic. Those who fail to grasp this drastic change are doomed to a treadmill ride to Nowheresville. The point of attention is described as a sentient human being's instant-by-instant reality. It is made up of three equal sources of information. 1. Stimulation from the corporal body's biological sensors as they monitor the local four-dimensional universe. And when I say four-dimension, that means including time, the delta, the change. You have the three dimensions, length, height, width, and then you have the fourth dimension of change, because nothing in the universe sits still. It's all changing, spinning, and flowing around different gravitational centers. 2, memories of past experiences brought up by this stimulation, or the brain may be in a state of constant re-stimulation of habitual behaviors and thoughts. Your reality moves forward in time, and your consciousness bounces around between these three things. Many people's consciousness is so ate up by rerunning old movies and old stuff that they don't seem to be caught up. You can't even have a conversation with them because they're not in real time. Their consciousness is rerunning this old stuff. I've got friends that are still stuck in the 70s. I mean, they have their mullet hairdo and their Mustangs, and they're kind of stuck. 3, predictions of potential outcomes as the analytical mind attempts to create a rational chain of experiences. Now, I wrote this for doctors, so there's a lot of big words in there. So we'll try to break that down a little bit. This means your hopes, your dreams, and your fears. What do you think might happen next? What are you planning to happen next? How far in the future are you planning your time for? So your consciousness bounces back and forth between these three legs of the stool of reality: the current moment sensory perception, your memories and of past, and then your hopes and dreams of possible futures. Discovery 2. Exciting new scanners, it is possible to examine in the fourth dimensions the activity of the human brain. It has been found that the brain is a very plastic organ. Now, what I mean by plastic is it changes like putty. It's always moving and changing around. You hear me talk all the time about the population of 2 trillion cells and how they regenerate in 6 weeks. Well, your brain's even more plastic in that it can reorganize its neurons instantly. It is in a state of continual change. This change follows the point of attention like a needle carving out a wax record. Many of the individual's behaviors are simply well-worn physical neural networks in the brain. Many of an individual's behaviors are simply well-worn physical neural networks in the brain. They are easily stimulated because of the numerous connections to other sensations and experiences held in the brain. So think of this track, okay, like on your CD, you got this one track you really like. And every time the color red or the name Martha or whatever comes up, it reminds you of that track, and bam, you go back and run that track again. So you just keep running this track over and over again. And then you start identifying with the track as if that's you. That's who you are, is this certain behavior, smoking cigarettes, something like that. And so you keep running this behavior and reinforcing it because that's what you think you are. So you get into this vicious loop. Until now, it was not recognized that these hardwired behaviors can be physically rewired with proper education and practice. Modern science now has a clear picture of what happens in your brain as you deal with life. The physical brain is much more pliable than we ever imagined. This discovery explains how and why some of us are successful, why others of us are sick. All right, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to go into what's called the 7 tenets of the plastic brain. We're going to talk about how your brain is made up and how it functions, and then some little tricks you can do to start rewiring your brain and get closer to your hopes and farther away from your fears. This is Dr. Drumright, the Harmony Health Hour. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
You're listening to Dr. Daryl Drumright and the Harmony Health Hour on Jackalope Radio.
All right, we're back. This is Dr. Drumright and the Harmony Health Hour. We're having a good time tonight. Things are rolling, rolling, rolling.
Rocking.
Let's talk about the brain. Zombies like brains.
They do, I hear.
Yes. Well, we're going to talk about what is the brain and why is it working? How's it happening there? This is an old article that I put together on reviewing of a couple different books back at the time, and I'm sorry I don't have the exact reference of where I studied this stuff, but I put this together myself for a seminar I did for chiropractors back in 2007. The human brain, 7 tenets of the human plastic brain. Change can occur only when the brain is in the mood. Chemical on and off switches that allow learning to occur are turned on by your attention to novelty and turned off by repeating already learned non-challenging behaviors or an intentional refusal to accept new experiences to be recorded. The brain is in constant flux, meaning it's constantly changing, always either rearranging or reinforcing its pathways and patterns. Your point of attention is the key to what dissectable physical formation the brain will soon be. Now, what I'm talking about here, folks, is not esoteric. I'm talking about dissectable, hard flesh, real neurons in the brain, and how if you cut the brain out and tease it apart into all its little fibers, this is how it forms itself. It is literally a physical manifestation of your thoughts that change around moment by moment. When you have a change of mind, your brain physically changes its structure. It's not esoteric. This is not some illusional thing. You can see through these PET scans and these different ways of seeing, you can see a restructuring of the neurons as they disconnect from one thing and reconnect to another. The important part about this first thing is you cannot learn something unless you're exposed to novelty. Novelty means something you've never seen before. Human beings seek out novelty. They want to be, and in our overstimulated world we have now, novelty's hard to get because with the television and the internet and the just constant stuff that's coming at you from 100 different directions, novelty is so overwhelmed with all this stuff going on around you. You tend to numb yourself out and literally recede because there's too much novelty going on. So part of the issue is you need to focus on something particularly, something you enjoy, something new. The thing that turn off the brain's ability to learn new things is repeating already learned non-challenging behavior. You know, going to the factory, doing the same thing. This goes here, this goes here, this goes here. Monotonous repetition uses the brain's plastic ability to reinforce those things, which does not open up things. It hardens the brain. It makes it more difficult to learn stuff. Number two, change strengthens connections between neurons engaged at the same time. Learning is accomplished by testing combinations of connections, then comparing observed outcome versus what the brain wants or doesn't want. Changing hardwired connections selectively as the behavior approximates the desired outcome previously formulated by the brain. I'm sorry about all these big words, okay? this we'll go back through this. Learning is accomplished by testing combinations of connections, then comparing observed outcome versus what the brain wants or doesn't want. What you do in life when you want to do something is you try it. And you swing your arm around. Say, I think I might get into this golf later, but basically you try it and then you wanted this certain thing to happen. So you give it a try and it didn't quite happen. So your brain says, okay, I got part of that. Let's try something different. And it tells your body to do something a little bit different. And then it takes a snapshot of that. And then it says, that's a little bit closer. So we'll wire that in and then try something different. And then as closer you approximate the desired outcome, the more your brain locks in and wires down those particular circuits to make the body work. Did that make it explainable?
Yep.
Give me some feedback here, Todd, because
I think it works.
I'm definitely not here to talk over anybody's head.
Nah, that's good.
Number three, neurons, which is the cells in the brain that fire together, wire together. Okay? What this means is your sensory input is rich and complex. That means the stuff that's coming in, your eyes, your ears, everything that's coming in, that's just all these different things that are happening at once and coming into your brain. The brain strengthens its connection between that things that reliably occur in serial time. That means things that it can predict. If you drop a pin, it's going to fall and hit the ground. It sees that over and over again, so it says, okay, I can just assume that's going to happen next. It strengthens connections between the things that reliably occur in serial time, and from that makes predictions of possible outcomes. By saving these connections, it has the capacity to make continuous adjustable predictions about what goes with what and what will happen next. In other words, as your brain is learning its environment, it sees things that happen the same way over and over again, it starts making predictions that that's probably going to happen that way again. Okay, so it actually hardwires itself to begin to expect that to happen so it can move on to the next thing.
Okay.
Like driving a car. When you first get behind the wheel, it's scary. There's so much stuff going on, but after 30 years of doing it, it's completely automatic. Your brain knows how to do it. It knows how to tell your hand to go where to look, what to do, and you don't have to think about it whatsoever or put it into your sentient cycle. You just let it happen, and the brain wires itself so firmly that it just does it automatically. Isn't that cool?
It is cool.
Okay. By saving these connections is the capacity to make continuous adjustments, adjustable predictions about what goes with what and what will happen next. The point of attention, think of it as a stylus. It's you're carving old wax. You're making records, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The point of attention where learning occurs is not compartmentalized. Past memories, present sensory stimulation, and imagination all constantly blend as your brain weaves its own explanation of reality, and from that develops memories, skills, and dreams. So you are making yourself, your identity inside your brain. As time goes by, the brain is constantly carving. So from the instant you're born to the day you die, the stylus is never pulled off the wax. You're carving your story into space-time, and it's being carved into the physical structure of your brain. So all of your memories are part of you. All of your hopes are part of you, and these are structurally formed inside the physical brain.
Gotcha.
And it doesn't break it apart. It blends it all together and carves new stories. Number four, initial changes are temporary. If the brain judges the experience to be interesting, exciting, or somehow novel, and relates to either a desirable or undesirable outcome, it will release a chemical that makes these connections permanent. The brain is constantly making decisions on which thought or experience needs to be recorded. Permanent wiring changes occur in an over and over incremental layering system. The boundaries of consciousness will either expand or contract directly according to what the point of attention is focused on. Okay, in common language, if you think something's interesting, if the brain looks at something and it's just boring, it's the same thing, it won't release chemicals to lock that memory in. You won't remember that. But if it thinks something is cool and interesting and novel and like, wow, that's kind of cool, then it releases a hormone into the brain that says, okay, lock that in. So when those experiences come into the sensory perception and light up certain neurons, think of it as a lightning. There's kind of a, you're inside the Holodome or at an IMAX theater. And on the surface of the IMAX theater, on the screen, is this electrical storm that's flying across all over the place. So your reality, like the Matrix, is actually the lines and streaks of electricity that's going on the surface of your brain. You don't have actually direct access to the outside world. Your senses interpret the outside world and broadcast in these electrical circuits inside the brain. But when you like a certain circuit pattern, you send out a message or a chemical to that to lock that in. Say, remember that one. I like that one. But if it's the same old drone and stuff or something you're not interested or your consciousness is off somewhere else and something's happening in the background, you don't send the chemicals out to lock that in and it just lights up and then fades out. lights up and fades out. It doesn't stay into the matrix. Okay? The brain is constantly making decisions on which thoughts or experiences need to be recorded. Permanent wiring changes occur in an over and over incremental layering system. Okay, so you have to really learn something, you have to repeat it. Now, there's some other ways of learning something with some hormones, so I think we'll get into it in a minute. Okay, that's number 4 out of 7. We're getting through this pretty darn quick. Number 5. Brain plasticity is a two-way street. Now, this one is critical. I want you to listen closely to this because this is important. The point of attention, the stylus that's carving out your story, drives physical brain change just as easily positively as negatively. Many identified mental disorders can be explained with the plastic brain. Chronic pain syndromes occur when the electrical signal from a pain sensory cell is overstimulated for a long time. Like riding a bike, the brain gets really good at using these connections, so that any associated stimuli, a smell, someone you don't like, will fire the whole wire and further attract the point of attention in a vicious cycle. Unwanted bad habits continue to pester us because through years of repeated behavior, the brain has hardwired itself into that set of connections. Then by repeated timeline association of this behavior, in other words, the same sequence of events came over and over and over again, you keep firing this. See, this is the scary thing. If you have the same behaviors over and over and over again, your brain just memorizes that, like driving a car. What we deal with in the office a lot is the fibromyalgia. A lot of fibromyalgia comes from an initial imbalance. There's something wrong in the hydration, in the spine, in the nervous system that's causing a signal to show up in the consciousness, a pain signal, but the person doesn't do anything about it. They adapt to it. So the brain literally wires itself and gets used to this, and then they come in here, and with the chiropractic and the acupuncture, we correct the physical imbalance in the cell population, but the brain still has that hardwired memory of that pain circuit. So they leave the office, and they go out, and their grumpy husband's there, and they get exposed to that, and you know the grumpy husband's been around for the fibromyalgia for years, so every time that he grumps, he also had the fibromyalgia. It's not a logical association. It's just that when you have the fibromyalgia, the pain signal's going off, so whatever you're exposed to while the pain signal's going off in the fibromyalgia becomes associated with this circuit, and you get these connections out into other experiences, so that when you go out and you experience these other things, it re-fires the circuit for the fibromyalgia. So even though with the chiropractic and what we do here, we've corrected the physical structural imbalance in the body, the brain still runs those very severe pain patterns, and your life suffers because of this plastic brain. Unwanted bad habits continue to pester us. Then, by repeating timeline, obsessive-compulsive disorders are treated by teaching the person that those obsessive fears are not real. They are just old wires repeating an incorrect message. This has to do with growing, with as you mature and get older. You have to every once in a while go through an identity purge. Sit down and with yourself and start thinking about all these things that you identify with, of who you are. You know, you are this, you are that, this is what you do, this is how you are, and that's just how it is, those kind of thoughts. Evaluate those things in your current life situation. They may have worked very well for you in past life situations, but they may not be working in your favor in the current life situations. So understanding your brain is plastic and understanding that these behaviors are not solid. They're solid in that they're there now, but your brain can change if you just simply change your behavior and start literally mentally disconnecting these connections and rearranging the structure of your brain by thinking differently. Did that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. As they learn to ignore that incorrect wire, and what we teach people to do around here is If you have an obsession or something like that, or a pain symptom or something like that, we want to use your mind's eye and use your imagination and visualize the brain as a tangle of wires in there, and each wire is going to make you do certain things. So if you've got a certain behavior like smoking cigarettes that just you can't seem to stop on your own, we want to get out of the personality, the out here is like, oh, well, the world's controlling me and I can't stop, and start thinking of your brain as your circuit board. And whenever something stimulates you to smoke a cigarette, think about the brain as a circuit board and then insert a different output, rewire it, literally connect it. No, that goes to cigarette smoking. I want that to go to being grateful, or I want that to go to call my mom, you know, something like that. So when you literally install these circuit breakers mentally, then your brain has shown that it will physically rewire itself accordingly. But you have to be conscious for this. You have to be grown up for this. You have to accept that you've got to do something here. It's not going to, you're not going to go to the doctor and he's going to fix it for you. You've got to own this situation and be the boss. Be the captain, as I always say. Okay. Then by repeating timeline association of this behavior, set of connections with other experiences, it becomes... Wait, we already did that. Sorry about that. Oh. As they learn to ignore the incorrect wire, the brain begins to unravel it. And all the while, it's connecting and reinforcing more rewarding behaviors. A word of caution. A malleable brain is also a vulnerable brain. Sensory bombardment is changing our brains as much as any other experience. Our brain is always changing towards the point of attention. That is why television is such a problem. Marketers and advertisers know this information, and by holding your point of attention, they are modifying the physical structure of your brain to include their teachings. Cravings, desires, this kind of stuff is being shoved into our children's brains if they're sitting there watching television. They're literally, brains are being hardwired and molded by the current environmental condition. This doesn't ever stop. Whatever you're exposed to, your brain is going to mold itself around that exposure. If you're exposed to something repeatedly, it begins to assume what's going to happen next. It begins to manage itself around these particular sequences of events. Your television advertisements are designed around managing your thoughts for you. If you don't understand this, then you are a putty in the marketer's hands. Your purchase decisions are predetermined by watching the television because it's been hardwired into your brain. This is not some kind of hypnosis or anything like that. This is actual physically your brain is changing and rewiring itself according to your environmental conditions. Sensory bombardment, repeated messaging will reorganize your brain. Your behaviors will become automated according to these structural changes that are occurring because of continual stimulus of the same message. You think you're in charge of your thoughts, but your thoughts are simply an accumulation of your past experiences and your brain's expectation of what's going to happen next. So I challenge you to seek out the novel, to try to get something exciting going on in your life, challenging games, things that you do with other people, engage other human beings, talk to each other, challenge each other. Wake up.
There you go.
You want to take a break and then we'll come back and finish this?
We can do it.
All right, let's get a song in, and we've got number 6 and number 7 to finish off this Friday night. This is Dr. Drumright, Harmony Health Hour. Let's catch up in a second.
It's a story about a briefcase, a lunch, and a man on the air.
You're listening to Dr. Daryl Drumright and the Harmony Health Hour on Jackalope Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Drumright. I'm really enjoying going back through this material. It's been 5 years since I've covered this stuff.
Wasn't that about the time you came on Night Watch?
I think it was. It was back when I first showed up as Dr. Doom on Night
Watch. Dr. Doom.
The end of the world as we know it.
That was my comic book nerdism shining.
That was great. I enjoyed it. All right. We got two more things of the seven tenets to cover so that you know how your brain functions and you can take control of yourself and your life. Memory is crucial for learning. The brain is continually setting up models about where it thinks it is headed. It's always trying to figure out the future. Constantly evaluating everything going on in the now with similar past memories and imagined outcomes. Playing golf involves millions of nerve signals from the muscles of the body and commands to these muscles. To learn such a complex behavior, the brain formulates a mental image of how it wants the effort to turn out. It actually stores desired outcome in memory. So you come up with an imagination, and that imagination is hormonally locked into your brain. This is what you want. So you have this picture in your head. This is what you want. Then it fires the muscles, and at the same time releases, remember this, chemicals. Then, like a picture, it locks in this pattern, then weighs the observed outcome against the desired outcome, makes corrections by physically disconnecting and reconnecting synapses, and tries again. Try by try, it lays down the neuronal patterns until the behavior becomes literally hardwired into the brain and second nature to you. Is that freaking cool? I mean, you have a thought and the brain remembers it. Even though it doesn't really exist, you just came up with it in your head. Boom, now it's real in your head. And then you go out into the real world and try something. You move your fingers around. You do stuff. You spin around here and there. And then you look at what you just did and think, well, is that what I wanted? Nah. So you erase it and try again and change the pattern of the neuronal firing of the muscles and try it again. That's a little closer. Let's remember this part and lock that in, but let's erase the rest of this and try again. Over and over and over until you actually can produce out in the real physical world something that to your senses looks like what you wanted it to look like. Or sounds. You're a musician, Todd. When you have a song that you know what it's going to sound like and you start picking up the guitar and putting it together, it's not quite right. So the brain's still got this image of what it wants it to sound like. So you go back and you try it again and you change something. Your muscles fire a little bit differently. You move your fingers around in a different pattern. Is that what you wanted? A little better, but not quite there. So you go back and do it again and continue to modify the muscular output from the brain to accommodate or come closer to the imagined perfect outcome. And so artists, their brain functions in such a pattern. They have an image of what they want, and then they go about trying to move matter in the material world to approximate that thing they want. Number seven, motivation is a key factor to brain plasticity. The brain is far more pliable than we ever imagined. This knowledge is part of an amazing awakening to who we are and why we are here. Life is meant to be lived with enthusiasm, passion, and joy. Be careful of ruts. Take up new challenges. Constantly push the boundaries back. The plastic brain will unwire old habits and begin laying down new hardwire circuits to increase your skills at new tasks. When something becomes second nature, it is time to find a new interest. Don't sit on the couch and think that everything's good, because you'll fall into a rut and this leads to Alzheimer's and all kinds of disconnections. Along with these new skills, you regain your sparkle, your zeal for life. You become a part of the solution. As a wise man once said, life is a journey, not a destination. Enjoy the ride. It's just a game.
It is. Ongoing, okay. Ongoing.
So some tips to optimize your plastic brain. This is simple stuff. You probably already know this. Cardiovascular exercise, get your heart rate going, is needed to supply the oxygen to the brain to help it grow. Manual therapies like chiropractic and the skill trainings like yoga are important because they cause the brain to grow in the area of body coordination. Always challenge yourself. Expand your capabilities. If a task is routine, find a way to do it better or a better way to do it. The ultimate goal is to get our brain span to outlive our lifespan. Exercise your brain and joy, vitality, enthusiasm for life returns. That line in there about make your brain span outlast your lifespan. If you don't do this, you're going to wind up with dementia, Alzheimer's, a burden on your children, and a real problem as you get older because your brain stopped or built a rut and starts grooving itself into these over and over repeated cycles that are useless to anyone around you, and you don't even know it because you've disconnected from the novel. You've disconnected from new adventures by recycling your same old ruddy belief systems over and over again, so much so that you don't even know, you don't even recognize your husband anymore. You've developed Alzheimer's. Your brain is running around in circles inside your head, and the rest of us are out here trying to live life, and you've become a burden. So don't become a burden like this. Go out, enjoy life. Look for something novel. When it snows, go outside for a minute. Don't get killed.
Don't stay long and get frostbite.
Right. You don't get hurt, but enjoy the weather, the changes. Look around. Life is right here, right now. Try something new. Meet someone new. Look someone in the eye. Experience the joy of companionship. A person, something real, somebody you can shake hands with. Go out, live your life. This is Dr. Drumright. It's the Harmony Health Hour. HarmonyHealth.com, Jackalope Radio. I Do Well is the phone number, 816-436-9355. I'm here to help. I love you all. You guys have a great weekend. And we'll catch you next time.
Very true.
Thank you, Todd.
Yep. Thank you, Dr. D.
Bye.